I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. As always, tons to get to over the next 3 hours. Smoke and Joe Patrick will join us in the 1 o'clock hour as always. Get deeper into some of these big time college football matchups on Saturday, including the cocktail party, of course. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog, it is as close as we can get to the cocktail party. Also, Falcons going up to Gillette. Is it still Gillette?
It is.
Oh, up there, Gillette and Foxborough. Obviously, the NBA season is kicking, whatever. It was a baseball game last night. Don't know who won. Don't care who won.
Blue Jays won.
I know who won, Eddie. I was just being right
there. I was just going to let people know.
Yeah, they didn't. Don't know and don't care who won. And then, you know, as we continue to get ready, like you said, we're past Sunday, right?
I mean, sure.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Okay. Just making sure. I know we have Joe on.
It's Thursday.
I know we have
Joe. I might ask him a question about the Dolphins game.
This one, right?
I don't know. Depends.
I'm gonna go forward.
Okay.
I'm gonna go forward.
Okay.
Because yeah, it's like, you know what? One of those things. What's our favorite phrase? Don't let. We always say we say this about a team, and I want your opinion. I thought about this more. We always talk about don't let a team beat you twice, right?
Yeah.
But hold on.
Yeah.
That we relate that to the players, right? More than anything, the team itself, right?
Definitely.
What about the fan?
I think the fans have been beaten multiple times by a lot of different teams.
But I'm just saying, like, in general, with that phrase when it comes to the fan, to a fan of a team.
No, I think that applies just to the team.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious.
I think.
Okay.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying because it's like one of those things where, okay, you have a bad – your team has a bad performance. Mm-hmm. You're coming up on another game.
Don't let that affect your performance as a fan.
No. Or your thought process or your mood. Because, you know, you're coming around and you got an opportunity. You got 3 days, whatever how many days until the next time. You know, so that's why I think when I'm just asking the question. I'm curious. It's like because of the last two losses, it's compounded. It's like.
Yeah. The mood has been affected.
Okay.
The mood has been affected.
Okay. So if you're listening out there, are you excited about Sunday?
I think everybody's excited about it.
Okay, I'm just curious. Okay.
Yeah, I think definitely. But I think there's, you know how it is. I mean, it's the momentum coming off of a win versus the disappointment coming off of a loss. And now there's two in a row. And the one Sunday is, I mean, it's not the every loss isn't the same,
right.
Obviously.
Agree.
I mean, it is maybe to the guys in the locker room, but and for their mentality, it needs to be for sure.
Right.
Like, okay, it happened, we move on. But, like, you know, we saw it. It's not the same thing. The loss you had week one to Tampa where you couldn't make a field goal at the end, I mean, that's sort of that's like an execution.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that to me.
Situation.
That to me is more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely more heartbreaking, yeah. But also probably easier to bounce back from, too, where it's like, all right, you do this right, and also that obviously led to a personnel change.
Right.
Maybe that fixed it, which I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Outdoor on Sunday. That's something to think about as you get ready for
that, dog.
For that game. But again, I'll say this. I hope that you're in a situation where a field goal would win it for you.
Right.
Because there's been a couple games this year where you weren't even there.
Right.
You know? That would mean that the Falcons were a competitive, I assume at least at times, well executing football team on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to see, right? Like
yeah.
that's the difference between the games that have gone well and the games that have gone absolutely terribly. And the thing for me that's really interesting about this team, and I say this about Penix all the time. He didn't play Sunday, so it doesn't really apply to him. But you can pretty well tell how the game's going to go for the Falcons in the first quarter.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
Like, all right, they look like they've got a good game plan.
Right.
They're whatever. They're ready. I don't know. I don't know what the mix is that leads to them either having good starts or having bad starts, but there's been no ability to adjust or rebound when things are going badly.
Mm-hmm.
And when things are going good, they tend to stay going good. I mean, in the Buffalo game, there was a lull in the third quarter, but I think part of that was your left tackle got hurt, so you were adjusting to a new offensive lineman, got it together in the fourth quarter, ultimately didn't score a ton of points in the second half, but scored enough, and defense
right.
played good.
Right.
I mean, it just went sideways from the jump against Carolina and Miami. So, again, something we talk about with Georgia all the time. Try to get off to a good start if you can, if you can help it. I don't know what that is. I don't know why the Falcons are like that, but that's been true so far this season.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. And I think, you know, a lot of times when you look at teams who are not built to, as far as we've seen, built to are able to adjust when the adjust is needed. Also, if a team is down, can they battle back and win a football game?
What tends to be the hallmark of teams that adjust well?
Oh, man. I think more or less, a lot of times whenever we talk about adjusting well, if whatever is going bad for you, you can always flip it into, you know what, okay, we can go away from that because we can do this. And the Falcons don't have the ability so far this year to be able to, when this is gone, because, one, you have a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Two, the receiving core isn't where I thought it would be right now. It isn't. I'm sorry. It just isn't where I thought it would be and what it should be.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they fired the wide receiver.
Yeah, and so you look at it from that standpoint where, you know, is it more or less, is it the personnel why you can't do it? Is it the personnel why you got to stick with a specific guy? I've been on heavy run teams where most of the time our best player was our running back. Falcons' best player is their running back. Now, when people would stack the box and try to stop Ricky, we had players on the outside, but we didn't. I mean, you know how I feel about me some damn Jay Feeler, but he, you know, it was one of those things where if you didn't want him to throw it, I mean, if he didn't have to throw it, you would pretty much just, you know, figure out something else around it. Short passing game, things like that. But I think that with this team, it's just, it's so obvious that they cannot, there is no plan B with this team. Now, I'm sorry. There is probably a plan B. They just can't execute the plan B.
Yeah, the plan B hasn't gone.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. They can't execute the plan B.
Plan A, pretty clearly, as it should be,
right,
is hand the ball to Bijan and let him loosen the defense up.
Yes.
Now, when they're not blocking for him, as they haven't been the last couple of weeks, and I thought that was probably the most interesting bit of information that we've gotten this week from the coaching staff. They're going to say a lot of stuff. It's fine. They're not going to tell us. We get it. But to find out that the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach had a 30-minute phone conversation immediately, or in face, whatever,
yeah,
an immediate meeting after that football game,
yeah,
like, all right, good. That makes sense. That makes sense that they would be like, something is wrong up front.
Yes.
That's leading to this not working, which is leading to everything else not
because
working.
Because a lot of times, you know, and I mean, not throwing, yeah, they sound like a shade. When you have a guy who is not a NFL starter, eventually you get out of him as much as you can. I think they've got everything they can out of out of Wilkerson.
I think that's right.
You know what I mean?
It started to show up in the San Francisco game for the first time, really, like, oh,
yeah, like
that's a third
like some,
string.
Yeah, exactly.
Tackle.
Some guys just have a 4 or 5 game start streak where you can get away with him, and then all of a sudden it gets to a point where, okay, defensively, there he is.
So exactly, because that's what I was wondering.
There he is.
Because obviously I don't have the X's and O's eye for that, but like they saw him play for 5 games too, and they saw the Falcons were still heavily running the ball to the right side, which you want to be able to run the ball to both sides,
right,
obviously, and up the middle if you can. But they were still running it right as much as they traditionally would, and some of the hugest plays of the year were coming from that side too.
Biggest play of the year came from that side.
And then all of a sudden, San Francisco lines up their edge rusher way out wide, and he just tears Muhammad Wilkerson up. Or Elijah Wilkerson. Who's Muhammad Wilkerson?
I don't know. The D lineman for the Jets.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was at Muhammad.
Yeah, you got me calling Elijah Wilkerson.
Yeah.
And he gave him fits all night long. And then he didn't have a great game. I don't think anybody on the offensive line had a great game against Miami.
Because they didn't.
And when that's the case, I mean, it's not just run blocking. It's also pass protection.
But see,
that
goes back to a lot of times when we talk about the adjustment that you've learned. Okay, you go – the hardest thing to do against a wide run in their staple play is to run when there's a wide technique guy, when there's a wide 9, a wide 5, whatever you want to call it.
And that's what the 49ers did.
And it's hard because the edge is kind of automatically set. Yeah. So that's when you change, you go to the sideline, and you draw something else. Okay, this is what we need you to do, Elijah. You block him. All right, interior guy up to this guy. Important block is that backside guard to get the scoop block and all those different things. That's an adjustment to it. Not necessarily we're just going to run into it because he's already at it because the guy's already wide.
Yeah, or just you can't just run away from it either.
Yeah.
Because then they just shut down that side of the field,
right,
and made you not one-dimensional but took away half of one of your dimensions. We did hear, and we've been joking about this, but it's true. Storm Norton practiced yesterday.
Yeah.
And Raheem said, as soon as he's fully able, that's the competition again.
Yeah.
He's better than the guy who's out there right now.
He is.
I'm not trying to pin all this on.
It's not him.
It's
all of them.
It's all of them. It's his execution. It's other guys' execution. It's the plan. It's the plan B. It's all of that. So don't mistake this as me like trying to scapegoat the third string right tackle for everything that's gone wrong over the last couple of weeks. But if you have a guy who's better, you put him in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of bridge the gap to the point where you could, and maybe now you put him out there, and they're like, again, it's as much as I don't want to scapegoat that guy, I don't want to sit here like Storm Norton being the starting right tackle.
It's gonna put him to another level.
Everything's fixed now. Yeah. We're good.
Gonna take him to another level.
I don't want
to
do any of that. But all of that to say, like, I do think if there's any like silver lining at all, if you want to give any credit at all to what happened after the last time the Falcons had a loss like this, they did respond pretty well.
They did.
They scored 55 points in six quarters after they gave up that awful loss to Carolina. They came out and had their best offensive game of the year against the Commanders, and then they went out and had 21, almost 28 in the first half against the Bills on Monday Night Football. Now, since then, I think they've only scored two touchdowns.
Yep.
So things have gone sideways since then. Obviously, that's why we are where we are. But they responded well to that. Everyone's saying the right things coming out of what happened on Sunday against Miami. We won't know. All that matters about what they say is what they do on 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah.
When they kick the ball off. But they responded well to it last time. I don't know.
I mean, the thing about it is that you're going up against a team that is playing well. They're playing really, really well. Talk about the Patriots. You know, they're very well coached. They have plan Bs and As and Cs and everything like that. If the Falcons somehow can take advantage of one of the flaws that they have. And so, you know, you're going to be in a standpoint where the coaching aspect, first of all, hopefully everybody's healthy for the damn Falcons.
Yeah,
quarterback,
really
and receiver.
Nice to have
it would be
Jalen
nice.
Walker.
Yes.
Zach Harrison.
If you can find a way to get all these guys healthy and get them in there contributing, because, you know, I think maybe Harris has been your best defensive lineman so far this year.
I think so.
You know, and so then you lose him as linebacker. I mean, you're losing guys. You're young safety.
I also think it's no coincidence that Jalen Walker's missed the last two games where you've been really bad against the run.
Because that's the thing about it. He came into the league being able to play the run. He came into the league being able to do that. So hopefully you can get a lot of these guys back. And because this team is so much better when all their guys, just like when all your dudes are in, you're a lot better. Hopefully when you talk about the offensive game, the passing game, I saw Zach Robinson talk about Moody, like he's coming around and everything. Hopefully.
It seems like it.
Because the thing about it was, I know we talk, he looked good running the route. Kirk just missed him.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the week before, he had his best game.
Yes.
Against the 49ers.
Yes.
Again, still had a really frustrating drop in the second half of that game. But, you know, based on what he looked like earlier, he looked better.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So, and then Drake London needs to play.
Drake didn't play.
Like, there's just no other way around
it.
No other way to put it than that. There's a lot of interesting parallels as well. Patriots are right now in terms of their kind of rebuild, probably.
Yeah.
And where the Falcons are also. Feels like they're a little ahead of where we are, which isn't
not surprising.
It's a little frustrating because they're a little behind on the timeline, but a little ahead in terms of progress. We'll come back. We'll let you hear a little bit from Coach Raheem Morris from yesterday.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawks won last night, although
Woo! They
may have lost one of their guys for a while.
Not one of the guys, the guy.
The guy may be out for a while. We'll tell you about that. What an ugly basketball game that was. It's awful. All right, we'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.